I'm Michael Ox. I'm a professor of medicine and obstetrics gynecology at Weill Cornell Medical College, attending physician at the Hospital for Special Surgery. The book is The Prince at the Ruined Tower. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Okay, The Prince at the Ruined Tower. What a great title.
I like it.
Yeah.
Some people hate it.
Oh, well. We're talking with Dr. Michael Lockshin this morning, and we're in a very exciting time in medicine, but uncertainty still reigns in medicine, you say, especially with chronic illnesses. Why is that?
Well, one of the things is that people tend to believe that we know everything we'll ever know about medicine and that all answers are available if you just do the right gene tests and so on. But that really is not true at all of the chronic illnesses, particularly since they often take a long time to play out and they're very mysterious as they start and just don't follow in clear patterns for many years. And that makes it very difficult to be certain about where you're going until you end up seeing the pattern.
And it's made worse by the fact that patients sometimes come in and they want a definitive answer. What do I have, doc, and how are you going to cure me?
Well, it's not only the patients, and I'm very sympathetic to that, but it's also the system that we work in. Because physicians today are required to put down very clear diagnoses every time they see a patient. If I want to order an x-ray, I want to order a lab test, many medications require that I put down a very specific, very precise diagnosis. And many times when I do that, I'm really only guessing, and I'm trying to say, well, maybe in 6 months I'm going to feel something different about this, or the test is going to turn positive that's now negative. All those things are constraining us and putting a lot of pressure to say precisely what it is when it's not possible to say precisely what it is.
You say that the healthcare world seems to want the certainty in codes, and sometimes it isn't A, B, C, D, or E, or anything. Explain that, if you would.
We all now operate under something that's called the ICD-10 codes. That's the 10th version of the International Classification of Diseases. There are 145,000 codes, and we are, as we being physicians, are required to use one of those codes every time we see a patient. But they don't often fit. And that's because symptoms can be very vague at the start. They can come and go. A patient can feel awful, make an appointment, and then be completely normal on the day of a visit, and then 3 or 6 months later be sick again. And for a physician to try to constrain him or herself to that specific code and that exactitude just gives a very false impression. It makes the records wrong. You end up putting in diagnosis numbers in medical charts, and we're not by law allowed to change those once they're in the chart. So misinformation continues on and on and on. I think it's very counterproductive to insist on the degree of accuracy and not allow us to say possibly evolving into this or maybe that, which is the way we actually operate.
Doctor, could you leave it blank or must you have a code?
Well, if I left it blank, tests would not be paid for, medications would not be provided, because insurers require those numbers before they will approve payment for anything that happens.
So what to do? How do we proceed?
Well, I think one of the things is to understand that in 2017, we don't know everything that we will ever know. If I look back in 1967 or 1917, we're laughing at what was done in those days. Well, there are going to be doctors in 2067, 2117, who are going to laugh at what we're doing. I think if we had a little humility to understand that we're in a process of learning about things, that we will never know everything there is to know, and just let physicians and patients work together, accepting what is unknown and agreeing that here's what we know, here's what we don't know, and then making decisions based on both of those facts, not just a specific number, a specific diagnosis that works for this particular day.
You were talking about picking up the hidden messages also given by a patient, which further complicates matters.
Well, yeah, and that's the point of the title of the book. It's The Prince at the Ruined Tower, and it refers to a pretty obscure poem that I read when I was in college. And the title is actually in French. It's from a French poem from the 19th century. And I never understood what it meant. And then more recently, I saw a study of that poem that said, that concluded that the line didn't actually have any meaning. What it had was a sound and a music, and that you were to hear it as the music and the words. Well, I think of that as the same thing as that happens when I talk to patients. Very often, someone will be telling me something in words, but I can look and see by their body motions, by the way their eyes go, the way they phrase things, that they're really not telling me what is really on their minds. And I think it's a major part of medicine to be able to read those hidden messages and, if you will, hear the music in their words. And frankly, sometimes I'll see this happening, and I'll just look at the patient and say, are you lying to me now? And almost always when I do that, patient turns around and says, yeah, I am, actually, and here's what I actually think. They're not embarrassed. They're not terrified by that. They actually look somewhat relieved to be allowed to talk about what they're really thinking.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So how would you redo things to get the medical world to respond?
What I would like to do is get the bureaucratic rigidity out of the system and allow a flexibility. I would like people to accept the idea of the what is unknown and just say, make decisions on the fact that we know 70% of what we need to know here, but some of it is going to be a guess. And in that, when that happens, what I would like then is for the physician and the patient to negotiate how we're going to go over that unknown ground, because patients' priorities have really high precedence when you're only making guesses. When you know exactly what's happening, you know, if you have a fracture, for instance, or something like that, the negotiation room isn't so much. But in the chronic illnesses, there's often a huge amount of room for negotiation.
Do you see the medical world headed perhaps in that direction, maybe in fits and starts, with precision medicine coming to the fore?
I'll give you two answers to that. One is that I don't see the administrative system responding or even recognizing that, because the way things are done right now, it's basically based on payment. And so hospitals bill according to the diagnostic codes, pharmacists dispense according to the diagnostic codes, and so on. On the other hand, on my side of the table, what I see is quite a number of physicians getting quite uneasy about the presumed exactitude that doesn't exist. And so papers are coming out in the medical literature that say, hey, this isn't quite as clear as we think it is. This diagnosis actually has 5 or 6 subsets that are all different one from another. And the other thing that is being paid very little attention to right now is the fact that individuals' personal experiences have huge influence, whether you're rich or poor, whether you have a big family or a small family, whether you have a nice home or not a nice home, whether you have drug problems, whether you have had prior illnesses. All those things change the way in which you think about an individual patient, and they're not accounted for when you just go by what is specifically one diagnosis or one diagnosis code.
I was going to ask if you thought that maybe this concierge medicine movement would help in that regard, but that's exactly what you're talking about.
It is. obviously the finances of something like concierge medicine is huge. It's a huge problem. But the fact is that human beings are very different one from another. And even if you label them with the same diagnosis, they still differ hugely. And I don't see any way around it other than to individualize not only on the things like genes and molecular biology, but also on personality and living conditions and personal choices.
You've given us a lot to think about. Well, thank you so much. We're talking with Dr. Anything else you want to add before I conclude?
Actually, what I'll tell you is that I actually am optimistic because I think there's enough people in this world, both on the patient side and on the doctor side, who feel the way I do and will see this change to less bureaucratic and more personal medicine in the future.
I guess you just can't give up. You have to work toward that end.
I certainly think that, and I hope my book will show that as well.
Well, we've been talking to Dr. Michael Lockshin, and his book is The Prince at the Ruined Tower, Time, Uncertainty, and Chronic Illness. Thank you so much for taking the time, Doctor.
Oh, thank you for letting me talk to you.